and welcome to Media News. Media News aims to be an authentic voice bringing you real truthful stories from the Middle East, with a particular focus on the Kurdish question that is often ignored, self-censored or suppressed by the mainstream media platforms. On the 10th anniversary of the Rojava Revolution, it is today such a great honour for us at Media News to be joined by Janet Beal, joining us from her home in the United States to talk about her extraordinary new book called Their Blood Got Mixed, which is a graphic novel detailing and depicting the events and ideas behind the extraordinary revolution that took place in the north and east of Syria. Janet Beal, an independent scholar and artist, was a partner of and collaborated with the social theorist Murray Bookchin for the last 19 years of his life. After his death on the 30th of July, 2006, Janet wrote his biography, Ecology or Catastrophe, The Life of Murray Bookchin, which you can find was published by the Oxford University Press in 2015. It was Murray Bookchin's writings that influenced an ideological transformation of the Kurdish freedom movement away from Marxism and statism and towards grassroots democracy and social ecology. To observe the implementation of his ideas, Janet visited northeast Syria several times and chronicled her observations in numerous articles. Janet has also translated several German language books about the Kurdish movements into English. However, Their Blood Got Mixed is Janet's first graphic novel. The whole book is full of pages of delicate and detailed cartoon type watercolored loose sketches and drawings with text that take the reader on a journey to Rojava to intimately feel the revolution in a way that words alone would not be able to convey in quite the same way. The beautiful pictures humanize the extraordinary stories that unfold and explain the ideas behind the revolution through the words of the participants themselves who come to life on the pages of this extraordinary graphic novel through Janet's wonderful sketches and drawings. The book, in my humble layperson's opinion, is a masterpiece that will appeal not only to a dedicated and supportive audience, but also, and perhaps more importantly, to a wider audience, as it is able to explain and articulate not only the experience of the participants of the revolution and its history, but also the political ideas behind the revolution through Janet's beautifully created watercolor sketches that make up the whole book. At a guess, I mean, I tried to count them the other day, and I think there's probably over 750 to 800 individually sketched images and scenes that bring the whole story of the revolution to life and gives an intimate insight, an accessible educational experience for the reader. Each drawing, a piece of art on its own, right? But brought together with the words to tell the story of the Rojava Revolution is an absolute delight and such an incredible artistic and political achievement. So it's my very great honor and pleasure to welcome Janet. Welcome to Media News, Janet, and congratulations on your first incredible graphic novel.
Mark, I'm overwhelmed. Thank you so much. And I have to say, it means so much coming from you because you were one of the people who really inspired me to become an activist on behalf of Kurdish freedom and showed me how. It's just you modeled how to do it. Although I've been a fan of Twitter Kurds for a long time and I've learned so much from you about Rojava. And I have to say, Mark, that I might be able to write a graphic novel, but I can't write tweets the way you do. Not to save my life. So you have your incredible skill at that has been just super, super important and has been for many, many years. So yeah.
It's so kind of you to, it's such kind words, which is very humbling. So people need to get their hands on this book to realize just how special it is. I mean, I had the very great pleasure to be sent a PDF copy And I have ordered it and it's on its way. Unfortunately, it wasn't able to get to me before now, but people need to get their hands on the book to realize just how special it really is. But could I ask you, please, Janet, to begin by introducing yourself to our listeners and viewers who may not know that much about you, and just how you had the idea for this graphic novel and how you went about achieving it.
So, well, of course. So, Mark, as you explained, I was the partner of Murray Bookchin, a social theorist whose work, through a very circuitous means, ended up influencing the Kurdish freedom movement. And I think that was my personal entree into the movement. Actually, someone, a Kurdish man named Ercan Eboya, reached out to me to attend a conference in Diyarbakir, which is the largest city in southeastern Turkey, Kurdish city, to attend a conference. And that's where, in 2011, and that's where I basically fell in love with the Kurdish freedom movement. And I've been trying to do what I can to work with it, to help it. And from my remote position in the Green Mountain State of Vermont in the United States, where there are no Kurds, so, at least not that I know of.
So I remember one of your cartoons where the YPJ were saying, when you came to Rojava, did you feel stronger? And you said, yes, I did feel stronger. And so why do you ask? She says, well, when you write about us, we feel stronger. So,
That's nice. Yeah, well, actually, someone, I have actually contemplated, said to friends, well, you know, I should move to London. I should move to Hamburg. I should move to Europe where, you know, and go to demonstrations and do all these things that people I admire so much are doing. And they said, no, you stay in Vermont and you do your translation work, all your introverted, you know, solitary work that require you to sit in for a long time in front of the laptop and just apply yourself for months and months on end. And that's what we need you to do. So that's okay. That's what I do. So you asked about the story of this book. It actually was originally not going to be a graphic novel at all. It was going to be a film. And I need to say this from the beginning, it still will be a film. There were two London British filmmakers, Danny Mitchell and Ross Damoni. Don't forget their names. They're the ones who invited me to go to Rojava for a month and travel around to make a film, and their film will be out next year. They're waiting for the right moment to submit it to documentary festivals. It's called Road to Rojava, and it's I've seen a rough cut of it, and it's very good.
Wow.
It's very different from my book. In a way, I'm really glad I gave my book a different title, because we were there for a month and tons, they took so much footage. We were perpetually moving around. There was so many people we talked to, so much to see. There was enough material actually for four or five different projects, I think. And so, you know, when I saw their movie, the rough cut of their movie in January, I thought, you know, it could be a different trip, except that I'm there, you know? I mean, they emphasize completely different things from what I did, and their sort of angle on it is slightly different. But yeah, it's fascinating to see how people, because we, after we came home, after the trip, we completely diverged, and I worked completely on my own and they worked completely on their own. So it's really kind of fascinating to see how, you know, two different sets of, you know, creative minds can you work with the same material and come up with something very different, but, you know, that converges in its goals.
So tell us, Janet, how did you come up with the idea, and when did you start, and tell us, like, you know, the mechanics of it. I mean, did you take the sketches when you were in Rojava, or did you do the sketches? All those sorts of really interesting things.
Yeah. So I didn't really think I would do a graphic novel while I was there. I realized as the month wore on that there was just too much material for the one film, and they were saying the film was going to be 40 minutes long, and I'm what? You know, so there's more here that needs to be captured. So I kept taking notes, and I realized later, like, that was a problem for them, because they had to, like, they were shooting me. I'm the presenter in the film, and it doesn't work.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So at one point they said, well, the movie is going to be about Janet does research to write a book about Rojava. That was the tentative, that they sort of changed the substance of the subject of the movie, but it turned out not to be that. I think they just worked around me. They had enough footage that they worked around the shots of me taking notes. And then I would take photos during the day also, because, you know, in the process of interviewing people, I couldn't really draw them. But I would take photos. And then at night, that was when I made drawings. So I was making the drawings using photo references, but while I was there on the spot.
Okay.
And it was an incredible experience because, as you mentioned, I'd been there several times before, both times as members of delegations, so big groups walking around, meeting official people, meeting the official political actors. And one of the things that Ross and Danny said to me at the beginning was, you know, we'll do that, but we're going to do vox pops. And this was a new concept to me. I mean, the new phrase. We call that person in the street interviews here, but every time I hear that, I love that phrase. Anyway, we did vox pops. In other words, we weren't just interviewing people like political actors and government people and, you know, military higher ups. We were interviewing rank and file. We were interviewing people in the street, just going up to people. So here I was, like an obviously Western woman, walking around with, you know, one guy with a camera and another guy with a microphone boom, with a microphone hanging down, and a fixer and translators and drivers, sometimes all the same person, sometimes not, just going up to people in the street and saying, so how's the revolution going for you? And, you know, sometimes people didn't want to speak and that was fine, you know, but the fixer would sort of organize that beforehand. And the fixer always makes sure to mention the name Murray Bookchin when introducing me, because the concept that Danny and Ross had for the film was that I was going there to look for traces of Murray Bookchin. So, and that was fine. But I said, you know, there's also a whole revolution going on there that needs to be witnessed for its own sake, Murray or no. And there's also the threat of Turkish invasion, and that needs to be discussed. So it's just not a matter of me looking for, you know, my traces of him. It needs to be much more than that. And they said, well, of course. So, but when I was introduced, it was always as Murray's partner, to see what kind of recognition that people might have of that name. And like 95% of the time, drew a blank. Nobody heard of, you know, but the name meant nothing. But more intellectually minded people immediately knew who it was, and we would get into conversations. So we did find traces of him there. And also frankly, in the democratic structures, which as I told Hess and the fixer, that I said, I'm a democracy nerd because of going around, you know, Murray and I used to go to Vermont town meetings every March. They happen once a year in March, first Tuesday. And it was just one of our great delights to just go out to some, we don't have them here in Burlington because Burlington is chartered as a city. So it doesn't have that governmental structure, but there's like 260 towns in Vermont. We would go out to them and just be town meeting tourists and just savor democracy in action. And so when I wanted to see that, and when I did, I have to say, you know, Hessen took us to, when we went to visit the commune, which is the most basic level of the self-governing structure, we went to an Arab commune at a town called Jada, near the Euphrates River. And I just, my jaw was, they couldn't tell, but my jaw was on the floor the whole time. I thought, you know, I'm from little towns in Vermont to this on the Euphrates River. And it's the same impulse. It's the same structure, the same impulse for self-government, the same impulse for freedom and self-determination that we have in Vermont. It just gave me chills just to think about it now. And I so wish Murray could have seen that. That was... But I have to witness it for him in his place. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, yeah, Janet, I mean, as you say, you are the partner. You were the partner of Murray Bookchin for 19 years, and his political ideas had such a great influence on political philosophy of the imprisoned Kurdish leader, Abdullah Öcalan. Certainly Bookchin's writings on communalism had a significant influence on Öcalan's ideas of a democratic confederalism that became the blueprint of the Rojava Revolution. Can you tell us how you cover this in your book?
Well, I tried to actually, I could have made it central, or I could have made that the beginning, but I decided, because that's really the egg that everything was hatched from in terms of my experience of this anyway, but I decided to start with the war against ISIS, because that was really the primary thing for the theme that I'm, the themes that I wanted to take up with the book, especially about a multi-ethnic and an inclusive democracy. So actually I made Ojalan and Bookshin a flashback,
yeah.
which I hope they forgive me for being relegated to flashbacks, but I think it works all right. And especially when, it was very delightful to me to be able to think, once I established who they were, to think back to places where Murray would, that when I encountered something that Murray would have been especially interested in, to think back to what he would have said, like if, for example, in his writings about the Spanish Revolution and the anarchist battalions during the Spanish Civil War, he used to say, well, you know, they started out electing their own commanders, but after a while, the exigencies of war took over and they resorted, had to go back to a more top-down structure for the battalions. But so, you know, I thought, oh, yeah, you know, the YPJ, yeah, they started out with that, but, you know, it's, they've been fighting ISIS for all this time now, and surely the same, you know, backward movement happened with them as happened to the anarchists. So I asked them and they said, no, we're fine. We still elect our commanders. Wash the dishes. They take their turn washing the dishes just like everybody else. And if there's one that's not competent, then we vote them out and we vote in another one. And so Murray, bless you. I salute you. you should have seen this.
Amazing.
So yeah. So it was nice to be able to bring that in.
That's a couple of pages in the book, isn't it? You've drawn that with the YPJ fighters and your conversation with them. And you even draw yourself. I just love the sort of feel of the whole thing. Is like, you know, it's like a cartoon. And sometimes it's like a cartoon, but it has that, you know, it has that intimacy and, you know, humanity and there's humor in it as well at times, isn't there?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more, give us a little bit more of a flavor of, I know you're very humble, Janet, but give us a little flavor of the cartoons themselves.
Well, I had done mini comics in the past, but I never did a full length graphic novel or graphic memoir and had always wanted to, but was looking for the right subject. And this just fell in my lap because after I got home, I realized it can't be a little illustrated book. It needs to be a graphic novel because I was so privileged to have the access that I had. I mean, not many people even can visit Rojava, let alone visit it with this access I had. It was quite amazing. So I needed to share that, and I wanted to share it. I wanted people to feel what I felt and to have the experience that I felt. I literally wanted to share the experience. So the events that happen are, I did edit the sequence of events a little bit in order to consolidate like material, but mostly I tried to keep it as it was. And I have to say that it closes with the women in the Raqqa Academy and they're dancing at their graduation. And that really was the last thing that happened. Yeah. And it was like the best thing in the whole trip that the Arab women were so eager to participate in the democratic process. And that had been one of the conundrums that I'd been dealing with during the book. But to see that was just such a high note to end the trip on and to end the book on. So, yeah.
And what about
I came home. I would make the drawings. I drew them by the line drawings by hand because I need resistance. I need the pen to scratch the paper.
Is it special paper or
just Bristol paper or even just sketch paper, whatever I had around? It's not, you know,
because are there watercolors? Are there watercolors on some of them, brushed with watercolors sometimes?
Some of them are. Some of the set pieces are. Yeah. Some of the, especially the full page ones, which tend to be the ones that I did while I was over there. And I had my little travel watercolor kit with me with my little brushes.
Yeah.
But a lot of the cartoons that are in the continuity, the lines are hand drawn, but then I applied Photoshop. I used the color Photoshop for the color, it allowed there to be a consistency.
You have a copy
the
there,
like the military uniforms, you know, to have them to have this camouflage on all the military uniforms in a consistent way. That's part of what, you know, it gives it unity
Yeah.
And I picked some people have asked about the color choices. Well, of course, yellow, because it's a semi-arid country and there's a lot of sun.
Yes.
And then olive drab, you know, for the military uniforms, and then black for the hair. And then, oh, I wanted to use one of the problematics is how to do flashbacks, because there's a lot of flashbacks in it.
Yeah.
Historical flashbacks, as well as the ones I talked about Murray. And I just made the background color a grayish or brownish color to indicate
the time.
A different time frame, because otherwise it gets really confusing. And I don't know if that comes across to readers or not. I sure hope so.
Absolutely, but it does.
It's one of the big problems for me with graphic novels: how to indicate time shifts.
Are you able to flick through and just give people a sort of literally little tease, very fast?
So here's a page.
Yeah.
I deliberately chose this three. No, hold it so you can see it.
Yeah.
This threefold layout, because I knew there would be a lot of words.
Yes.
Because I'm a writer, and I knew that it would be text heavy, and that the text was what was going to carry it. So I deliberately gave myself spacious panels in order to allow for words and to have the words be legible, because I hate reading a graphic novel and the words are tiny and all crammed in together. So I wanted to just give myself plenty of space.
Yeah.
And also, the horizontality of the panels reflects the horizontality of that semi-arid country, you know, with long, long horizon lines.
Yes.
So that I decided immediately, I realized early on that was the format that I wanted to use. But then sometimes I would just break it up. But so you see, this is really that. This is really three panels, but the top one's emerged, right? So that's the rhythm of it. Let's see, what else can I tell you? I did some research when I got back, but I had a lot of fun with the backgrounds, because sometimes I didn't want the backgrounds just to be really just a horizon line, which in many cases it could be, because you're out there and the horizon line is what there is. So I enjoyed coming up with backgrounds like this with ghostly people. There's one where I went to several genealogy academies and talked to maybe five or six people about genealogy, and they gave me long accounts of what it is and the kind of research they're doing and how genealogy has expanded and grown and how important it is and how they're doing Arab genealogy as well as Kurdish genealogy. And I didn't want the book to be just talking heads. One thing, a very important consideration for me, was that it not be talking heads, that it be dynamic people as much as possible. But here I had six women giving me, doing the talking head routine on me. How was I going to deal with that? So I decided I would just give them credit, give their names. But I found a little image of Ishtar carved from an ancient tablet or something.
Yeah.
And so I made Ishtar be the one that gave this lecture. And she's sort of floating around in the panel and taking different positions. And she comes into the foreground and she comes into the background. But that was a late discovery. And in some ways, I wish I had come up with little things like that earlier on. But okay.
I mean, you just give a flavor of, it's just so much fun as well as being an educational about a very serious topic. It's just, it's so accessible. And all those little details that you talk about just make it so much fun.
Oh, good. Oh, so another thing that I as you said, it's a fairly new genre. I mean, there's been another graphic novel about Rojava, but I wanted this to be, to reach a new audience. Maybe that one is a little older now. And yet, because I've written about Rojava before, my readers expect more from me than just the basic ABCs. So I had to figure out how to integrate an introductory book that was also provided meat and substance for people who want more than that from me. So again, somehow this genre seemed to really work for that. I mean, if something got too detailed for the beginners, then they could just skip over to the next panel or whatever, or turn the page, and there would be something to hopefully lead them on.
It absolutely does all of those things. Yeah. So, Janet, I'm honestly, I could go on, I could have this for an hour, but I'm constrained by time, and we've already whizzed by 24 minutes. So
that was quick.
Just incredible. So, obviously, the Rojava Revolution is now again under threat from another unjustified Turkish invasion as Erdogan seeks a green light from Putin and the Iranian regime, and the United States are seemingly still supporting the Kurds. But if Turkey does invade, do you personally think that that support from the US will translate into active defense?
Oh, I sure hope so. But I'll tell you, it might not be, and we do have a military presence there, the US does, and it might be an expansion of those existing forces. But I just speaking from an observer of the US media here, there's been nothing to prepare the public for a possible intervention in Syria. On the contrary, there's, if anything, people here are getting tired of hearing about Ukraine. I mean, in reportage on that is waning, even as they desperately need assistance also. So if the US does do anything, I would expect it to be more a matter of just quietly expanding the forces there. I don't think you know, Erdogan is just so, and have some of the Havals have said to me that was part of the trade-off to Erdogan for letting Sweden and Finland apply to NATO, is that the US would give a green light to a Turkish invasion of northern Syria. I sure hope not. There's nothing like, I've looked at the readouts, I don't see anything like that, and I don't think Biden is naive about Erdogan, but you know, it's not a question of even naivete, it's a question of geopolitics. And
yeah, well, I mean, it's always, and as always, it's really important then for, you know, to raise awareness about the situation and to gain, you know, to gain support for the Rojava Revolution. So it's important for people to know about the Rojava Revolution and to defend it. And your book, Janet, is such an important addition for people to be able to do that. So how do people get their hands on a copy, and what is your message to supporters of the Rojava Revolution should it come under attack from Turkey?
So the book was published by PM Press, which is in San Francisco, but I think also, or Oakland, California, but also I think in Edinburgh. It's available on Amazon starting tomorrow, but if you don't like I don't like to use Amazon, I don't know about you.
I was actually embarrassed asking you about it, but I did get it from there.
PM must have a site in the UK, and you can go order it from their site, and actually they're giving a half price discount. Do you have show notes for this? I'll put the coupon code.
Yes.
For the half price.
That would be wonderful.
I'll send that to you afterwards so you can include it in the show notes.
Okay? That would be absolutely fantastic, Janet.
Until August 1st. As far as activism, you know, I mean, of course, we take to the streets, but it's also really important to write to notify your elected officials, the people who are running the show, running your governments, to make sure they understand that we won't tolerate this, that this cannot be allowed to happen, that we cannot allow Erdogan to exploit this situation yet again and impose more cruelty. I'm sorry, there's a
siren
out there. And impose and attack yet again this brilliant revolution that's going on there, that has provided so much hope for the Middle East and so much hope for people around the world who are aware of it. And the more people find out about it, the more I think they are hopeful, and the more support it gains. So please, by all means, let your elected officials know that they need to recognize Rojava. It needs more international recognition, and it needs support, because these were the people who were our boots on the ground in the war against Islamic State. And we cannot allow them to, we cannot betray them. Donald Trump already betrayed them once in October 2019 when he gave Erdogan the green light to go into the north, and Erdogan did. We can't allow that to happen again. cannot. So,
Janet, honestly, independent scholar and artist and author of the most beautiful book that everybody needs to get their hands on and share with as many people as possible, called Their Blood Got Mixed. Thank you ever so much for joining us on Media News tonight. It's been such, it's been so wonderful to see you, and thank you for everything that you do, and all our love to you there in Burlington, USA.
Thank you, Mark. Same to you, and thank you for having me on your wonderful show.
Take care. Thanks, Janet.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.